Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are now tuned into Enterprisement Media Group presents Sound Doctrine with author, theologian, Dr. Ventura. Amen. The views expressed on this program are with the aim to correct, reproof, and align to the will of God. Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, the listeners have the opportunity to question Dr. Ventura at the end of his message or any doctrine or the sermon that he preaching on tonight. Any language on the Sound Doctrine program that isn't glorifying to God will result in callous termination. Bible said, let all things be done in decency and in order. With that said, welcome to the Sound Doctrine program. Amen. The number for the call-in is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. You are now listening to the Sound Doctrine program with author, theologian, Dr. Ventura. He's the author of the commentary of the book of Haggai, also Daniel's 70th Weeks. He's also author of Mysteries of the Deep. You can definitely get the information on how to have author, theologian, Dr. Ventura come to your church at the end of the broadcast. Amen. Amen. As we go into a word of prayer, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for your resurrection, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a God of love, peace, and you're also God of truth, and also God of grace, amen. So we ask, Lord God, that you touch your mouthpiece tonight, Lord God, and let your word come through with boldness. Let it touch hearts, prick hearts, Lord God. Make the crooked straight, let it line up, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, bless all the saints that are in California, Texas, all those who are gathered, listening all around the world via internet or cell phones, landlines, Lord God. Let you be glorified, Lord God, magnified, Lord God. And let the devil be terrorized, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to go to our psalm reading before we bring on the man of God. And we'll be coming from Psalm 47, the reading of God's holy word. I'm reading out of the King James Version, amen, 16:11. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loves, Salah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belongeth to God. He is greatly exalted. I've just finished reading Psalm 47. Blessed be the hearers and the doers of God's holy word. And now, without further ado, we bring our speaker of the broadcast on tonight on the Sound Doctrine program, amen, author, theologian, Dr. Ventura.
Amen, brother. It's good to be here tonight. We got Brother Ray with me here, and we're pleased to be here. I would suggest that if anybody's listening and they have some unsaved friends or family, this is an excellent sermon for them to come and hear the Word of God tonight, God's position on sinners in the hands of an angry God. And this is really a condensed version of a sermon. It's not that I can't write my own sermon, and I've written many, and I've preached many. Thankful to God for that. But in this particular sermon, God's put it on my heart to preach it tonight. There's people out there that need to hear it. It was preached in the 1700s in Enfield, Connecticut. And it's called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Our text comes out of Deuteronomy 32:35. Deuteronomy 32:35, and the scripture says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. their foot shall slide in due time. Amen. There's nothing that keeps wicked men at any one moment out of hell but the mere pleasure of God. By the mere pleasure of God, I mean his sovereign pleasure, his arbitrary will, restrained by no obligation, hindered by no manner of difficulty, any more than if else what God's mere will had in the last degree, in any respect whatsoever, any hand in the preservation of wicked men one moment. There's no one in the power of God to cast wicked men into hell at any one moment. Men's hands cannot be strong when God rises up. The strongest have no power to resist him, nor can any deliver out of his hands. He is not only able to cast wicked men into hell, but he can do it with ease. No fortress is any defense from the power of God. Amen. Though a vast multitude of God's enemies combine them and associate themselves, they are easily broken into pieces. And we find it easy to step on an ant or to crush a spider crawling on the earth. And it's just as easy as to cut anything that hangs by a thread. And it's just as easy for God, when he pleases, to cast his enemies down into hell. And what are we that we should think to stand before him, at whose rebuke the earth trembles, before whom the rocks are thrown down? They deserve to be cast into hell, so the divine justice never stands in the way. It makes no objection against God using his power at any moment to destroy them. On the contrary, justice calls aloud for the infinite punishment of sins. The sword is divine. Justice is every moment brandished over their heads, and it is nothing but the hand of arbitrary mercy of God's mere will that holds it back. That's talking about the restraining power of God. Amen? And they're already under the sentence of condemnation to hell. They don't not only justly deserve to be cast down into hell, but the sentence of the law of God, the eternal and immutable right rule of righteousness that God has fixed between him and mankind, is gone out against them and stands against them so that they are bound already into hell. John 3:18 says, He that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. He that believeth not is condemned already. Every unconverted man, every lost sinner properly belongs in hell. That's his place. It is the place that justice and God's word and sentence of his unchangeable law assign him to. They are now the objects of that very same anger and wrath of God. That is expressed in the torments of hell. The reason why they don't go down to hell at each moment is not because God in his power, they are, is not right now very angry with them, as he is with many miserable creatures now tormented in hell. They bear and feel the fierceness of his wrath. Amen. But I tell you, God is a great deal more angry with many numbers who are now right here on this earth with us, even some of you who are standing right here, even some of you who are listening, than he is with many of those who are now in the flames of hell. It is not because God is unmindful of their wickedness that he does not let loose the hand and cut them off. The wrath of God burns against them. The damnation does not slumber. The pit is prepared. The fire is made ready. The furnace is now hot and ready to receive them. The flames are glowing with rage. The glittering sword is sharpened and held over them. The pit has opened its mouth under them. Hallelujah. Brothers, the devil stands ready to fall upon them and seize them at his own, as his own. At that moment, God will allow him. They belong to him. He has their souls in his possession and under his dominion. The devils watch them. They are ever with them. At the right hand, they stand waiting for them. They are like greedy, hungry lions that seek their prey and expect to have it. But they're held back. They're held back. Amen. Thank God. If God should withdraw his hand by which they are restrained, they would in a moment fly upon those poor souls. That old serpent is gaping for them. Hell's mouth is wide open to receive them. And if God should permit it, they would be quickly swallowed up and lost. There is laid in the very nature of an unsaved man a foundation for the torments of hell. Hallelujah. Sin. Sin is the ruin and the misery of the soul. It is the destruction in nature. And if God should leave without restraint, there would need nothing else to make the soul perfectly miserable. Brothers, sisters, it is no security. Not security for old men, not security for young men, not security for children. Brothers, it is no security to wicked, unsaved man for one moment that they cannot see their own death at hand. There is no security to a lost man because he is now in good health. He does not see which way he should go out of the world. He doesn't suspect one accident. He sees no visible danger, but the experience of the world in all ages shows this is no evidence that a man is not on the very brink of eternity. The next step may be into another world. Lord, have mercy. The unseen, unthought of ways and means of people going suddenly out of the world are many. Unconverted men walk over the pit of hell on a rotten covering. And there's an immutable places in the covering so weak that they will not bear their weight. These places are not seen. The arrows of death fly unseen. God has so many different ways of taking wicked men out of this world and sending them to hell. There is clear evidence that man's own wisdom is no security to them from death. Amen. Ecclesiastes 2:16 says, how dieth the wise man? As a fool. How dieth the wise man? As a fool. Though already under the sentence of condemnation to hell, they do not only justly deserve to be cast down to hell, but the sentence of the law of God, the eternal and immutable rule of righteousness that God has fixed between him and mankind, is gone out against them and stands against them so that they are bound already over to hell. John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Every unconverted man, every lost sinner properly belongs in hell. Amen. Amen. Every lost man. It is the place that justice and God's word in the sentence of his unchangeable law assign him. They are now the objects of that same very anger of wrath and torment that God would have them in. Sin is the ruin and misery of the soul. It is destruction in its nature. And if God should leave it without restraint, there would need nothing else to make the soul perfectly miserable. Brothers, it's no security to wicked and unsaved men for 1 minute that they cannot now see their own death at their hand. Amen. The unseen throughout ways and means of going suddenly out of the world are many. Many. I'm telling you, brothers, the Lord God is coming back. The Lord is angry. All wicked men's plans and pains which they use to escape, they continue to reject Jesus Christ and remain wicked men, will not secure them from 1 minute in hell. Almost every lost soul who hears of hell flatters himself that he'll escape it. He depends on himself for his own security. His schemes will not fail. His plans will not fail. Wiser men than you, my friend, have gone to hell. And if we could speak with those in hell, those behind bars, yes, bars, because hell is a prison. And your soul will end up in prison, and it'll end up behind bars. And if you could speak to them which are in hell, they would say, no. I never intended to come here. I had other plans. I thought my schemes good. I did not look for it. It came as a thief. Death outwitted me. I was flattering and pleasing myself, stupid dreams of what I would do hereafter. And when I was saying peace and safety, sudden destruction came upon me. God have mercy. God has laid his himself no obligation by any promise to keep any unsaved man out of hell. God certainly has made no promises except those contained in the covenant of grace and the promises that are given in Jesus Christ, in whom all promises are, yea and amen. It doesn't matter what some have imagined and pretended. It doesn't matter what religious plan you follow. God is under no obligation to keep a man from eternal destruction until he believes in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So the lost man is held in the hand of God under the pit of hell. They deserve the fiery pit and are already sentenced to it. God is dreadfully provoked. His anger is just and great towards them as they are already suffering in hell. The devil is waiting for them. Hell is gasping for them. The flames gather and flash about for them, waiting to swallow them up. They have no interest in Jesus Christ. They have no interest in Jesus Christ. And if it were not for the sovereign pleasure of God, the earth would not bear you 1 minute, you sinner. You are a burden to it. The sun does not willingly shine upon you to give you light to serve sin and Satan. The earth does not willingly yield its increase to satisfy your lust, and it is not willingly a stage for your wickedness to be acted out. The air does not willingly serve you for breath to maintain the flame of life in your vitals while you spread your life and spend your life in the services of God's enemies. I'm telling you, God's creatures are good, and we're made for men to serve God with. And the world would spew you out were it not for the sovereign hand of God who has subjected it in hope. There are the black clouds of God, wrath hanging directly over your heads, full of thunder and dreadful storm. It is true that judgment against your evil works has not been executed yet. The floods of God's vengeance has been withheld. But your guilt, in the meantime, is constantly increasing, and you are treasuring up every day more wrath, wrath upon wrath.
And if God should only withdraw his hand from the floodgate, it would immediately fly open, and the fiery flood of the furnaces and the wrath of God would rush forth with inconceivable fury and come upon you with omnipotent power. The bow of God's wrath is bent, and the arrow made ready on the string. Justice directs the bow to your heart and strains at the bow. Nothing but the mere pleasure of God without any promise or obligation at all keeps the arrow 1 minute from being drugged with your blood. Lord, have mercy. However, unconvinced you may be right now of the truth of what you hear, by and by, my friend, you'll be fully convinced of it. Those who are gone from being in the like circumstances with you see that it was so with them. Destruction came suddenly upon most of them when they least expected it. Nothing of it. And while they were saying, peace and safety, peace and safety, peace and safety and party, now they see that those things of which they depended on for peace and safety are nothing but an empty shadow. Lord, have mercy. The God who holds you over the pit of hell, much in the same way as one holds a spider or some loathsome insect over the fire, abhors the unsaved sinner and is dreadfully provoked. His wrath towards you burns like a fire. He looks upon you as worthy of nothing else but to be cast into the lake of fire. His eyes are too pure than to have you in his sight, my friend. Oh, sinner, oh, sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. It is a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit full of fire, of wrath that you are held over in the hand of God, whose wrath is provoked and increased as much against you as against many of them already damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread, my friend, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it and ready every moment to seize upon it and burn in asunder. And you have no interest in a mediator. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, the word of God says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. There is nothing to lay hold of to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Nothing to keep you out of the flames of wrath. Nothing of your own. Nothing that you have done. Nothing you can do to induce God to spare you one moment. In this world, there are governments that are superpowers. They have great, great, terrible nuclear weapons. But all the nations of the world combined are feeble, despicable worms, dust in comparison with the God, the great and almighty creator, king of heaven and earth. All the kings of the earth before God are as grasshoppers, the scriptures say. They're nothing and less than nothing. The wrath of the great king of kings is much more terrible than theirs. His majesty is great. Hallelujah. The scriptures say in Luke 12:4-5, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Isaiah proclaimed, according to their deeds, accordingly he will reply. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger and fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Lord, have mercy. Revelation 19:15 says, the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. If it had only said the wrath of God, the words have implied that which is unspeakably dreadful, but it said the fierceness and wrath of God, the fury of Almighty God. Consider this, you that remain unsaved, you that are in the world that don't want to know Jesus Christ, you have turned your back on the Lord, that God will execute the fierceness of his anger implies that he will inflict wrath without pity. Ezekiel 8:18 says, God says, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Hallelujah. Now, right now, God stands ready to pity you. Today is the day of mercy. The Apostle Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God stands ready to pity you today. Call upon the name of the Lord. Once the day of mercy is past, your cries and your shrieks will be in vain. God will be so far from putting you when you cry to him that it is said he will only laugh and mock. That's what it says. Scripture says God will laugh and mock at you. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. The word of God says, This is from Proverbs. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But he has set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's the word of God, my friends. Those are awful. Those are terrible words. Those are words from Almighty God. He said in Isaiah 63:3, I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all their raiment. And I will stain all my raiment. If you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, contempt, hatred and fierceness and indignation waits for you. He will not pity you. His word says so. He'll only tread upon you underfoot. And though he knows, he will know that you cannot bear the weight of his omnipotence treading upon you, yet he will not regard that. He'll crush you under his feet without mercy. He will crush out your blood and make it fly. That's what Isaiah 63:3 says. And it shall be sprinkled on his garments so as to stain. No place shall be fit for you under his feet. The misery of an unsaved sinner is exposed to it. That's what the scriptures say. The misery of an unsaved sinner is exposed to that which God will inflict to the end, that he might show what the wrath of Jehovah is, the wrath of Almighty God. God has had it on his heart to show the angels and men both how excellent his love is and also how terrible his wrath is. And I'm telling you, when the great and angry God has risen up and executed his awful vengeance on a poor sinner, and that wretch is actually suffering the infinite weight and power of his indignation, then will God call upon the whole universe to behold the awful majesty and mighty power that is to be seen in it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The prophet Isaiah said, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come and worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of them, of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, and neither shall fire be quenched. And they shall be abounding, an abhorring to all flesh. How dreadful is the state of those who are daily and hourly in danger of this great wrath and infinite misery. But this is the dismal case of every soul that has not been born again, no matter how moral and strict, sober and religious they may otherwise be. And you, young and old, will you neglect this precious season which you now enjoy, when so many others of your age, young and old, are renouncing all youthful lusts and vanities and are flocking to Jesus Christ? Therefore, let every one who is out of Christ now awake and flee from the wrath that come. The wrath of Almighty God is now undoubtedly hanging over every ungenerated sinner. Escape with your lives. Look not behind you. Escape to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, brother.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God's angry with the people. God's angry with people in the United States. God's angry with people in Europe. God's angry with people all over the world. God is tired of listening to this nonsense. And it's time for men to discover that there is a way to save themselves, because we're destined for hell without Jesus Christ. The Bible, the Word of God, is not some man-written fallacy. It is the Word of God. He gave us the Word. He preserved the Word. And we have it preserved in the King James Bible. And the Word of God tells us that men are destined to hell without Jesus Christ. Opening all the doors you want for little old ladies and helping them across the street and donating money because you think you're giving something to some charity. I'm telling you, that isn't going to get you to heaven. If you can get to heaven by good works, what do we need Jesus Christ for? Why did God have to send his son to die such a miserable, terrible, tormented death? If we could just be good people. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen, brother? You with me, brother?
Hi. I don't know where he is. Am I lost? No. Brother Brown? Amen. Hey, Brother Brown. Well, we're at 347-945-5416. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I would suggest that you get on your knees now and repent of your sins and come to the conviction that you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself, that you don't want to go to hell, that you've tried to be a good person. Life hasn't worked out the way you thought it would. You need Jesus Christ. I know there's some people out there that are hurting. They're in prisons. They're in prisons of bars with steel. They're in prisons of wheelchairs. They're in hospital beds. They're even at home, free in the world. They're under financial burden. They're under tax burden. They're under family burden. They're under work burden. Jesus says, take your yoke upon me, for his yoke is easy. You don't have to carry this burden alone. If you just come to Jesus Christ and ask him, whosoever shall call upon the Lord. And if you're out there and you're not saved, you need to say, God, I'm a sinner. And I repent. I turn from these sins, God. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died for me. And I plead the shed blood of Jesus upon me, who died for me. And I'll receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I promise you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture says, whosoever. Whosoever means rich or poor, white or black, red or Chinese, Italian, French, Jewish, American. It doesn't matter. God doesn't discriminate. There's only two races, those who are saved and those who are not. And if you're not saved, we're heading for that time. The day of judgment's coming. And brothers, you need Jesus Christ. I just urge you to repent. Amen. We bring Brother D.L. in here. Brother Brown?
Call in at 347-945-5416. Dr. Ventura.
Amen. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Brother Ray, that's quite a sermon that was preached back in the 1700s. The story is, they say that, and that's a condensed version. Imagine what the minister really told the people. But they say he preached that sermon. One hand, he had the sermon written in one hand, and the other hand, he had a candle. They didn't have electricity back then. And they say that he preached that in an old country church in Enfield, and that the people were so traumatized by what they were hearing, the truth of God, because it's really the truth, and that they were so scared that they were holding on to the back of the pews, afraid they were going to fall through the floor into the pits of hell.
Amen, amen.
And you know what? Today people are callous. We've lost our sensitivity to sin. And, you know, I taught a Bible study the other night on a Tuesday night, and I was talking about inventions of evil things and how evil and corrupt the world is and how we can get caught up in world philosophies. You know, the scriptures say you came a long way. I mean, not the scriptures, but the world says you came a long way, baby. Well, yeah, she sure did. Her skirt went from her ankles to her hips. You know, the commercial, have it your way. No, you better have it the Lord's way.
Amen.
Amen. God only helps those that help themselves. My scriptures say, without me, you can do nothing. You better go to God first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, inventors of evil things. We become an evil, trodden down society, and the problem is we don't recognize how evil we are. You know, bestiality. You walk into any toy store, and you look on the shelves, and you'll see half bear and half human, half turtle, half human. Well, what do you think that represents? That's bestiality. How did you get a half-human and a half-animal toy? You see? And the world today is so blind to these things because everything is so nice. It's just entertainment. No, it's sinful.
That whole Hollywood crowd is simple. I mean, here's two married people, and they're acting in bed, fornicating on a scene, and then go home to their own wife and husband. That's a disgrace. And we people today laud that stuff. You know, the average young man and young lady sitting around the home and watching television, brother, they probably see about 50 murders a week. And that's just in the movies. Job said, I set no wicked thing before my eyes. We come accustomed to that. You know, adultery was, prior before Jesus came, adultery was understood as a man and a woman outside of marriage fornicating. But Jesus tightened that up. And he said, if you lusted after that woman in your heart, you commit adultery. In your
Amen.
Heart.
Amen.
If you lust
Dr.
after
Ventura,
a woman,
We have a question that just came in. It says that if a person is a very good person, how do they know if they confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? How do they know if they are truly saved?
Well, there's several ways. The first way is to know that God doesn't lie. That's a promise from God. It's in His Word. The second is, when a man receives Jesus Christ receives him. And the promise is that he will give that person the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into that person, he seals them until the day of redemption. Scriptures say that the sealing of that Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit, is the earnest of our inheritance. That word earnest comes from an old real estate term, and it really means a down payment. And so when a man truly confesses to God, Jesus Christ, and asks Christ to be his Lord and Savior, and is sincere in his heart, the Holy Spirit will come and indwell that person. And then as that person reads the Word of God, reads the Bible, listens, goes to church, and attends a good sound doctrine church, he'll see changes in his life because God said he would give that person the desires of his heart. He didn't mean, hey, if you want $1 million, I'll give it to you. Not that God won't give it to you, but he's talking about he will put his desires in your heart, and you will start noticing in your life changes. You won't be able to do the things you did. The mere fact that you're calling and asking this question means that you need a Savior. And God has put it on your heart. It's not by coincidence. Nothing happens by coincidence. Either God allows it to happen or he makes it happen. And so for whatever reason, and the reason is your salvation, God put you in this spot to hear this. God wanted you to know this. And you need to come to Jesus Christ and receive him. And he'll receive you. Amen, brother?
Amen. Dr. Ventura, we got another question that says, what is the difference between the lake of fire and hell? The difference between the lake of fire and hell.
Amen. Hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what the scriptures say. Hell and death were thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is a place, if you look in the Bible and you read the story of Lazarus, the rich man, and you find that the rich man's in hell, and they're separated by a gulf. And so hell is a compartment within the earth that God has reserved. It's a spiritual place. It's just like Abraham's bosom was a place within the earth. It was a compartment. And between Abraham's bosom and hell was this gulf that nobody could cross over. Once you're in hell, you don't get out. And so hell is a place, the Bible says, that's real. It has bars, it has keys, because Jesus has the keys to hell and death. And so hell is a place until the final judgment, when Jesus Christ returns after the millennium reign, the white throne judgment, then hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is a fire which is going to burn for all eternity. Amen?
Amen. Another question reads, it says that, aren't we going through our own personal hell now? Aren't we going through our own personal hell? I believe they're trying to say hell on earth.
Well, I think that we all have problems, but the place of hell that God's talking about is in the little place of tribulation and torment. Our life is like a vapor. Job says, you know, it's like a spark. If you ever had a campfire and you see that spark fly up from the fire, well, that's how our lives are. You know, I'm 57 years old, and my wife Marilyn is about my age, and you see our lives. We've known each other since we were 16. We look back, it's only almost like yesterday. And so our life is but a puff, you see. And so whatever we're suffering here doesn't compare with God's talking about going on there. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Now, if you've ever seen a pair of oxen plowing in a field, you have one oxen in one side of the yoke and you have another on the other side. And so Jesus is saying to you, I'll help you plow. I'll help you through life. I'll take one side of that yoke. You take the other. We'll plow together. You see, you have to receive Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will receive you, and he's going to help you through life. And I know there's a lot of bad things in the world, but God didn't create the world to be bad. You know, people are always saying, well, we're suffering down here. Well, how come this man was shot? How come this guy was run over by a car? How come a drunk, you know, why did God allow this? My friend, sin came into the world, and God gave every man free will. And the free will is you make choices in your life. And if you choose to commit sin, if you choose to get behind the wheel drunk, that's your choice. The consequences you have to suffer. And you may cause consequences on the earth and cause people to suffer, but you're going to have to answer for that in eternity. You know, we talk about abortion. You know, why all those poor children? Hey, listen, those children are in heaven. They never reach the age of accountability. They're in heaven. The mother and father are in trouble. You see, because when you look at abortion, it becomes a satanic ritual. What is it? They're shedding that child's blood to cover their sin. Well, Jesus Christ shed his blood to cover your sin. And you need Jesus Christ. And I know, listen, we're always going to have the poor with us, Jesus said. We're always going to have financial problems. We're always going to have physical problems. We're not evolving. We're devolving. This is not evolution. This is devolution. Sin is causing us to degenerate. I mean, our human bodies are so wicked that when we die, we put them in a wooden box, and we put them in a metal in a concrete case and bury them 6 feet underground because they're sin-ridden, the body. It's putrid. And so everything around us is decaying in life. We're just waiting for the Messiah. We're waiting for Jesus Christ. And so the direct answer to that is yes, we'll suffer on this earth, but it's nothing like the torments of hell. That fellow that was in hell, he knew where he was. He spoke to Lazarus. He spoke to Abraham. And he wanted them to go back and tell his brothers about this place.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And he said, well, they have the prophets and they have the word of God. And if they didn't believe them, they're not going to believe Abraham. You know, they're not going to believe Lazarus. And so it's a place of torment. Your conscience there. It says your conscience. You know your sins. You know where you've been. You have memory. There's a big difference. It's a place of torment. And you know what? Brother, the sad thing is nobody has to go to hell. Nobody. But people choose to go there. And I don't believe this foolish doctrine of predestination that God selected before the foundation of the world who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. Peter said he'd have no man lost. God doesn't want anybody to suffer the torments of hell, but that's your choice. See, God is a loving God. He didn't create us as a wind-up toys. You wind us up and we do whatever he wants. God gave us the freedom to make choices. He gave us free will. He's not going to make a person love him. If you choose not to spend eternity with God, well, then God's got to put you in a place that's separate from him. And so it starts out in the pit of hell, and it ends up in the lake of fire, brother.
Amen.
But I know if you're suffering on this earth, then you need to go to Jesus Christ. Ask him to be your Savior. Ask Jesus Christ to help you, and he will help you. Scriptures say, I've never seen the brethren begging in the street for bread. Amen. Listen, God's going to take care of you. Get in that yoke with Jesus. You can't put a donkey on the left side and a oxen on the right side and plow a field.
Amen.
So when you get in that yoke with Jesus, he's going to help you through this life. Amen.
Amen. Before we go to our commercial break, and there's another question. When you was talking about the age of accountability, does the age of accountability differs from person to person? Good question.
Well, yes.
We're not going to say we're going to have a communion or a bar mitzvah or something, and we've reached the age. I mean, I understand Jewish law. There was a certain age, and they became a man. But the truth, the age of accountability is not knowing right from wrong. It's knowing good from evil. In other words, you can take a child that's 3 years old and teach him not to put his hand near the stove when it's on because it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he knows it's right and what's wrong. But the age of accountability is where a child reaches an age where now he knows something's good and something's evil. And that's the accountability, the time that he needs to come to the realization that he also needs a Savior. I think Brother Ray had something, Brother, here. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to that thing about how somebody is sure about salvation. For the Scripture says in 1 John 5, whosoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, everything is God, begat other than him also is God. By this we know the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are previous. It says that in Romans 8:16, it also says that it is the Spirit itself which beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is not
Oh, you're having feedback, brother. You're having feedback. I don't know if your mic is a little bit too close or a little bit off, but you're having a lot of feedback.
Okay. All right.
Did I give you an echo, brother?
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's all right.
Hey, brother.
Yeah. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Forgive us, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty tonight, but we continue to press our way through. You're listening to Interpraise Media Group, the Sound Doctrine Program with author theologian Dr. Ventura. Dr. Ventura is here every Thursday night at 9 o'clock p.m. sharp. The program runs to about 10:30. Sometimes it'll be 10 o'clock, but most of the times he's on until 10:30. He always preaches the Word of God and teaching sound doctrine. Definitely take your calls and your questions at this time. So if you have any questions, you can definitely continue to drop your message in the message box on blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. To continue to throw your questions in there, or you can just call up right now, 347-945-5416. We're about to take our first break, give the man of God a breather, and then we're going to come back, amen, more of your questions and get some information from the man of God, things that he's working on, and his email address, all of that stuff. So now you have a chance to get your pencil and pen and pad ready. Him and Brother Ray will be back in a minute after one song. In Jesus' name, this is Sound Doctrine Program.
Amazing grace, and yes, it's the
Amen. That is I Repent by Stacy Weaver. Stacy Weaver is an artist on Cityside Records down there in Florida. He was a guest on the Mantle of God on Monday night about 3 weeks ago, I believe, on EMG. Amen. He released this project on here. It's called I Repent. Amen. The CEO of that company is Minister Stevie T. Amen. You can definitely contact him on Facebook. Amen. At www.facebook.com, Minister Stevie T. He's a very controversial brother. He goes after the Jay-Z's and all of those type of guys that the enemy is using in this season. He goes after all of those guys. Also has a cheesecake business down there, excellent Christ cakes down in Florida. Amen. So if you run across that man of God, amen, get a cheesecake from him, amen, in Jesus' name. Also, K.L. Belvin, amen, of Braven Publishing, he has Gigolo to Jesus. He's now working on the play based on the book. And Lord knows I got to get Dr. Ventura his book, amen. I'm like 3-4 months behind on that, amen. But, amen, the brother has Gigolo to Jesus, his testimony of how he was a womanizer, amen, a gigolo, and Christ came, found a way he was at, amen. cheated on his wife and the wife gave him another chance. I recommend every man, woman of God to read this book. You'll be very surprised on how his wife took a stand at the end of the book. Amen. And turned God used her to turn a gigolo to Jesus. Amen. An excellent book. Also, The Wordplay 2, Foundations of the Soul, BravenPublishing.com. Amen. They present Wordplay 2, 13 authors, 13 subjects, everything from spirituality, life or death, various topics of the soul. And they have a spiritual wordplay coming out in 2014. That's at BravenPublishing.com. We also do Christian distribution down here. You can definitely contact us in the email, interpraisementsc@gmail.com. That's interpraisementsc@gmail.com. Now we're about to turn the program back over to our author, theologian, Dr. Ventura, as he had just finished preaching his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. We was taking your questions. You can contact us 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. He is joined by Brother Ray. Amen. His brother in arms. Amen. So now we turn it right back over to Dr. Ventura.
All right, brother. Thank you. Amen. I got to get a hold of that brother with the cheesecake. You kidding me?
Amen. Christ cakes. Christ cakes.
Does he ship it? Can we get some out here?
Amen. Christ cakes. Amen.
Amen, brother. Well, praise the Lord. I'm working on some things. We're working on the prison ministry, and we're turning a couple of the theses from college into books, and we're rewriting, getting another edition of Mystery of the Deep. We're getting that edited correctly. Daniel's 70th Weeks. That we're kind of shortening that up a little bit. And also the commentary to Haggai. And we've just been, we're out here, we're building a church out here, one step at a time, watching what the Lord's doing. He's doing some great things. And amen. We appreciate the opportunity to come out here. I can be reached at Ventura, V-N-T-U-R-A, just like Ventura, California, ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I'd be more than happy to take any, questions or any thoughts, or, somebody needs help along the way. It's something we can give them scripturally to help them out. We always put time aside for the Lord. Amen, brother?
Amen, 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 amen. Another question. Go ahead. I think Brother Ray had a question.
Well, Brother Ray wanted me to also, and it's a good idea, that they should also have, it's my partner here in, by the Lord, so... But Brother Ray's email is Raymond S. Bassett, B-A-S-S-E-T-T-E, @gmail. No E? Oh, I'm sorry. I spelled this wrong. It's Raymond Bassett, Raymond S. Bassett, B-A-S-S-E-T-T, @gmail.com. And, we're always available. Brother, did I cut you off? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to comment. It was an excellent sermon. I'm very familiar with John Edwards on that sermon and how the Lord used you to bring that sermon back to the forefront at such a time like this is very key. And you was talking about rich man and Lazarus, and hell is real. Hell is definitely real. It has enlarged itself. It gets more hits than McDonald's. McDonald's serve millions. It don't serve more than hell. There's a lot of folks. Amen. There's a lot of folks, amen, who confess Christ, and their hearts didn't line up to what they was confessing. So make sure when you say, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, that you mean it, because He knows the matters of the hearts, and it's by the heart that the actions are weighed. So I bless God. That message definitely blessed me. And you don't, you know, only time you hear Doc get fired up, amen, when the soul is on the line, amen, and preaching God's word, amen. And we just bless the man of God on tonight, amen. Amen. But I have a question, amen. It don't necessarily pertain to the sermon, but it was a question that was brought up off air pertaining to, you know, the areas of your expertise. They want to know the various viewpoints on the book of Revelation.
Well, I think that if you're going to read the book of Revelation, you have to familiarize yourself. You know, Revelation opens up Matthew and the book of Daniel. And some people say that Daniel is the book of Revelation concealed and Revelation is the book of Daniel revealed. Well, one of the largest misconceptions that there is in teaching when people read the book of Revelations is that they think that they're going through the tribulation with the judgments, you know, the vials and the horses and the thunders and, you know, the seven personas. What they think is that they're going through the tribulation one time, but actually it's written so that each time that you go through one of those judgments, for instance, when you get to the end of chapter 6, you find that there's a parenthetical chapter. And then when you get to chapter 7, the final seal is broke. And so you have to understand that each time through, each judgment brings you one time through the tribulation. So it's just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you would understand that, you'll see that there's a parenthetical chapter each time you go through these judgments. But if you can understand Revelation chapter 11, then you would understand doctrinally Daniel's 70th week, because the two line up. Does that answer your question, brother?
Amen, amen. As a part two of this question, the part two of this question is, what is the three different parts of scriptural interpretation, and can you define each scriptural interpretation? I guess they will be talking about historically, doctrinally, and spiritually. Can you just dive into that briefly for the sake of time?
Sure. When we say historical, what we're saying is we're talking about who's speaking to who at that time. Doctrinally, we're talking about, are we in the Old Testament? Are we in the New Testament? Are we in the Tribulation? Are we in the Millennium? Are we in eternity future? And so spiritually, I can make an application of every single scripture in the Bible to myself. Now, for a Christian, you're going to find your doctrine from Romans to Philemon. And if it doesn't line up with Romans to Philemon, with what Paul says, then you're going to have to make a spiritual application to it. And I'll give you an Old Testament example real quick. This is an easy one. Moses was told, and the children of Israel, that on the 14th day, you know, the Passover, the 10th day of the month, go out and get a lamb. On the 14th day, you're to kill that lamb, but you're to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. Okay? And so historically, we know that that's, you know, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, historically, and God's talking to Moses and the children of Israel. And then we know doctrinally that that's in the Old Testament, because in the New Testament, you and I don't go out and kill a lamb to and put the blood on our door so that the destroying angel will pass us by. But we can make a spiritual application to that Passover in the Old Testament. And the spiritual application would be this. I get under the blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist called Jesus Christ the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he shed his blood. When I receive Jesus Christ, I get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I get cleansed from my sin. Hmm. And so just like the people in the Old Testament who had the blood on the door of their house, and the angel of death passed them by, well, the angel of death is going to pass me by too, because I've received the blood of the Lamb through Jesus Christ, and I get eternal salvation. Amen? And
amen.
You look at how they put the blood on the door. They put it on the top of the lintel, and on the left, and on the right. And you know what that is? It's a cross when it drips. You see it. It's a cross. It's a representation of Christ. And so that's so historically, who's talking to who at the time? Doctrinally, where are we in the Bible? You know, a fella in Washington State, Ken Blue, wrote a book called What's in Your Mailbox? because everything in your mailbox doesn't belong to you. See? You can make a spiritual application to that Passover in the Old Testament, but you can't make a doctrinal application, otherwise we'll all be out running around killing lambs trying to get saved. And it's not by works, it's by faith in Christ. I hope that answers your question.
Okay. You talked about the women's skirts earlier being too high. What about what the Bible says about covering the hair while praying for women? Oh, okay.
Okay. I think it's more so we talk about custom in the church. But, hey, I like to see the women come to church with a bonnet on their head. But the scripture says that their hair is their covering. Their hair is their covering. It's a shame for a woman to be shorn, you know, to be shaved. You know, God gave a woman her hair to cover her head. And, you know, there's that divine order. It starts with God the Father, you know, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angels, man, woman, and then children, and then the king, you know, the animal kingdom. And so I think the point, and I hope I'm answering your question, is that I think that we need to look. We've taken too much for granted. We get to the idea that because things in the world have changed, that God has changed. This is Jesus Christ saying yesterday, today, and forever. And God would like to see, and he wants his women to be modestly dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that, and for several
Amen.
Reasons, I had this conversation at Bible study on Tuesday night, and it came up, and I said, you know what? And the lady said, well, you know, you can't just judge everybody, and you can't make, listen, we understand that the leadership of the church should dress properly, and that at all times there's people coming into the church who are new Christians and unsaved, and they haven't reached that place in their walk yet, but it's up to the older women and the pastors, and you know, to help a young Christian along in wearing modest apparel, okay, and so the idea is this, church is a spiritual place, and if I go into church as a man, and there's a woman sitting over on the left of me, and she's wearing a short skirt or a low-cut blouse, what happens is I'm now being taken out of the spirit and drawn to my flesh.
Yeah.
Because I'm attracted to that. And I'm going to lose that message. And if I'm married, I'm going to start committing adultery in the church. And she's going to be responsible as much as I am for that sin.
Hmm.
And the same thing for our young men. You should dress. Listen, if the governor called you tonight and asked you, would you come over to his house for dinner to the governor's mansion, you don't get dressed up to go. You wouldn't go in a pair of ragged jeans with holes in them. You wouldn't come in wearing shorts. You wouldn't, you know, you need to, some of these women need to put a curtain over that burlesque show, you know, wearing these low-cut blouses. And it's a disgrace. And you wouldn't go to the governor's house, but you want to come to the house of God dressed like that.
My
and,
God.
You know, something wrong with that. And the same thing goes for men. You go in the house of God. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. Every saved person is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And as ambassadors, an ambassador represents the country they come from. How are you representing Jesus Christ in your address and in your home? If the Christian police showed up tonight and said, we're going to arrest everybody for being Christians at your home, could they find enough evidence? And so young men shouldn't be wearing tight-fit clothes and, you know, causing, you know, the things that, and pants sagging off the back of their you know,
Amen.
Dress modestly. Dress like you are a child of God. You're an ambassador for God. And the world judges Christianity, and you cause them, when you dress like that inappropriately, you cause the world to blaspheme God.
Mm-hmm.
The Gentiles. Because they're laughing at you. They're saying, these are holy people. Look at, they're going to church. You know, well, what kind of church we have? God's holy. He says, be holy for I'm holy.
That's right.
And so God has a desire for the women to dress modestly. And that's a good example for our children. Do you see the role models in the world today? I mean, it's a disgrace. They're skimpy dressed. It's a disgrace. I went to a preschool graduation, brother, for somebody in the family, and I went there, and they had lascivious dancing. Children that aren't even in kindergarten dressed in short skirts, and the boys
holding their hands and they're swinging, you know, their bodies around, and they're indoctrinating our children in these public schools to lasciviousness. And
oh,
the parents,
yeah, they're
think
primitive.
It's, and the parents are there and they think it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's cute. You know, why would a person want to put a ring in their nose? Who are you rebelling
my
against?
Lord.
You know, you're rebelling against God. Why would you want to put a ring in your nose? We put rings in the cow's nose, and we pull them around with it. You know, we put it in the pig's snout. So what do you want? Why do people want to be like animals? I can't understand it.
My Lord.
You know, I said before on the show one time, I saw a young man and a young woman. They had more chrome in their face than I had on my 73 Lincoln.
Hey, man. 347-945-5416. We on here with Doc. Doc is all loose now, amen. Sound Doctrine Program, amen. We're author, theologian, Dr. Ventura. We have about less than probably about 10 minutes left in our broadcast for tonight, but you can definitely get your questions in, or you can continue to drop them in the box at blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. Or you can email us, definitely, NathanOnTheSpot@Outlook.com. And you can also email us at thepraisemansc@gmail.com as well. And Doc will give out his personal email address at the end of the broadcast, him and Brother Ray, one more time before we go off the air, amen. And you can forward all your questions pertaining to the Sound Doctrine Program with author, theologian, Dr. Ventura, and Brother Ray Bassett, amen. They will gladly sit down and be led by the Spirit of God to answer every question that comes in, amen, in a timely, orderly fashion. So don't hesitate to question these great men of God concerning doctrine, amen. They will definitely get back to you. But I'm listening to you, Doc, amen. I know you was...
Yeah, I was going to say, you know why I think young people do that? I think young people want to be seen, and I think they want to be heard, but I think they're going about it in a rebellious way. I think that they think that by doing these things makes them special in a special way. You know what I mean? Unique. But really, they don't realize that in God's eyes, each and every one of us are unique. He gave
Amen.
Us the beauty. You know, I grew up hating my looks. I never liked myself, really. And then one day God just put it on my heart that, you know, this is, I am what God wanted me to be. And if it's good enough for God, then it's good enough for Peter.
Good enough for me, yeah.
Okay, so young people should realize, and older people too, that you are special to God, and God loves you, and God has a plan for your life. Not only does God want you to live a holy life, but he has a plan for your life, each and every one of
Amen.
Us. That person that called in and said that, well, they're going through hell on earth. Well, you know what? The truth is this, that as they grow in Jesus Christ, those experiences that they're having right now in their life are unique to them. I'm not going through them, and I can't go through them. I can go through similar things, but I can't go through it the same way they are. And so God's going to take those unique experiences that they're experiencing, and God's going to use those to allow those people who went through this to minister to other people to help them.
Mm.
You see? And so we go through tribulations and trials, but we have to have patience. And patience is, you know, we just know at the end it's going to be okay. Lord, just in everything give thanks. You know, well, I broke my leg. Oh, what do I do? You know, why did God allow this to happen to me? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says give the Lord thanks. Hey, you don't know why the Lord, maybe the Lord wanted you to minister to somebody. I don't know. You know, why you were in the hospital with a broken leg that he couldn't reach but only by you. I don't know. But you're supposed to say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand why I broke my leg, but I praise you and I thank you, God, because I know it's going to be to your glory and praise, because all things work out for your glory and praise. And I'm going to be faithful, Lord, and I'm just going to keep walking on this crutch until my legs heal. I'm going to pray you heal it quicker than I, well, you know, normal. And I just thank you, God, to keep going on down the road. God's got a purpose in everything in your life.
Not
as that may sound, you know. But there is a few people, Brother, if you don't mind, I'd like to thank Scott and Angelica and Savannah and Aiden and JP and my wife Mel and some other people that have really, really been praying hard and really been serving the Lord. And they really love the Lord, and they've been praying for this show and praying that we'd reach out to some people. And I just,
You know, I always hear this in churches, and this isn't any reflection on these people because, you know, they love the Lord. But I've gone to a lot of churches, including myself, giving testimonies. And we've all talked about how God turned us from the evil lives we live, you know, from being drug addicts, womanizers, alcoholics, arsonists, whatever it was. But very seldomly do we ever hear somebody in the church acknowledge those people in the church who have raised their children in the church. The children have grown up in the church and they've lived holy lives. And we don't distinguish those people, and they should be recognized too, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we shouldn't always be in church looking for the sensation. Yeah, it's a great thing. Listen, God can change anybody's life, and there's some great testimonies out there. Great testimonies. But the truth is that, you know, we need to recognize, look at some of the people and leaders in our church who have done right, you know, by the Lord all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can get that thing crossed up. But I think our society today is that, you know, you have to understand we're coming into a period of time in the Bible called the tribulation. And an odd thing that a Jehovah's Witness should say this to me, but one time, I said to him, you know, the world's getting crazier and crazier. And he said to me, well, look at it this way. And he said, if you knew that your time on earth was short, wouldn't you be acting up?
Amen.
And I said, well, coming from a guy that doesn't have any sound doctrine, it's pretty good. But, amen.
well,
it's true. It's true. And you know, there's people out there that are you know, we got to get our focus off of the world. We got to get our focus off of worldly matters, come out from among the world, pray for the world, live for Christ. If you want to change, we can't legislate morals. I don't care what kind of law. Laws, listen, God gave human government to restrain sin. No doubt about it. If we didn't have human government, I'm not saying human governments aren't corrupt, but God gave us human government to restrain sin. If we didn't have human government to restrain sin, if everybody did whatever they wanted to get up on the highway and do 100 whenever you feel like it, I mean, that's what speed limit's for. Okay, they're ministers. They are ministers for God, too, now. That's what the Bible says. People who are in government office will answer to God for their ministry. They have a ministry, whether they realize it or not, whether they're correctional officers, police officers, army, military, governors, the President of the United States, they will answer to God for their ministry. And so we all have a ministry for the Lord. And so we have to stop focusing on government taking care of us. Amen. And we need to focus on Jesus Christ taking care of us. And I thank you, brother, for the time.
Amen. 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 Liz, if you know a word of prayer, you keep this mighty man of God in prayer. Amen. Him and Brother Ray, they're some awesome people. Brother Ray, come forth real briefly. Amen. And say something to the people of God out there before we end the broadcast. Amen.
Yes, thank you, brother. I think what we learned tonight is one of the most important questions that one should ask themselves is, what happens after this life? If you haven't received Jesus Christ, you should ask in your heart sincerely for God to reveal himself and to show them the truth. But this is a very important, important question. It's one of the most important questions. We'll be dead a lot longer than we'll be living. The other thing is that, there's, as Brother Peter said, there's two dates on a tombstone. But between those dates is a dash. And that dash is just small. And as James said, our life is just a vapor. And this life passes quickly. I would not want to see one soul go into eternity without having Jesus Christ. Because eternity without God is going to be suffering. And like I said, if anybody would like to contact me, ask me any questions, you can contact me at RaymondSBassett@gmail.com. And I just wish that the Lord would touch many people's hearts, that the door of utterance would continue to be opened, that we would not quench the Spirit, we would not grieve the Spirit, but we would present ourselves as a holy sacrifice acceptable unto God. And I just praise you, brother, for the work that you're doing for the ministry, for the Lord, and Brother Nathan as well. And you guys are doing a good thing. Good work for the Lord. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. We love you. We love you and Doc. Amen, Brother Ray. Amen. We bless God. Amen at this time. Well, this has been another Enterprise Media Group broadcast of presenting Sound Doctrine with author theologian Dr. Ventura and Brother Ray. Amen. If y'all want to get in contact with the brothers, you have their email addresses. Definitely put them to work. Amen. They don't mind. Believe me, they don't mind. They are Bible thumpers. Amen. They do not mind. Amen. They really would love to hear from you. So, amen. We thank God on tonight, and we're just going to close in prayer. Amen. And we're going to govern ourselves accordingly. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the mighty man of God. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that went forth tonight, Lord God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, I pray that those who receive the word on tonight will examine themselves, as Paul said, whether you be in the faith, amen. And Lord God, we just ask, Lord God, allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to break up the fallow ground of the hearts, Lord God, and that the word of God that went forth tonight, Lord God, may impregnate the souls, amen, that they may be regenerated to the truth of God, Lord God, and reborn according to John chapter 3, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. It is so in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, God. Well, that's another broadcast. Amen. Join us again here next Thursday at 9 o'clock for Sound Doctrine with author theologian Dr. Ventura. May God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
this room, and there may be people listening at home. I want to talk to you for a second and just let you know that situation is too big for you.
Yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. Wait a minute. If you're at home, you need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on